Good afternoon, or really, still technically afternoon, planet Earth. It's your good friend Dan here from the park. An unknown park along that old-timey style sea, that great sea called the Puget Sound. Actually, I think we're right in the Strait of Juan de Fuca, kind of, I don't know. But we're somewhere around the Strait of Juan de Fuca and Puget Sound, somewhere around there. And I'm still at the park. And I gotta say, there's still a lot of these bad vibes floating around. It's hard to explain. As I said yesterday, it could be more or less something coming from me, from my darkness. I've got a lot of anxiety. I know a lot of people do right now. And it could be just the questions I'm asking and the assumptions I'm making. I was going to do this podcast in my tent, but I didn't. And before I go there, it is Friday, August the 25th, 2023, just around 4:12 p.m. here in the Pacific Standard Time Zone. Yeah, I was going to do this in a tent. I thought that would be a good idea because of the wind and the flame and the gases and the various noises you hear. I was going to do it in a tent, you know. I'm thankful for the generosity shown by many of you this week. I know I've said it a few times, I should keep saying it. I've been able to take a step back from what seemed like a very crazy, very frantic last few weeks. And I really didn't know where I would end up. And I still really haven't ended up anywhere. The only update I have to make is that I have a couple possibilities. A couple things I'm looking at, but nothing's really firm yet. Nothing's really solid.
So I'll send you that screenshot.
I get a lot of weird looks right now, kind of like the looks you get, I'm probably giving off the aura of stay away from the scary guy. And I know I am. And I know I'm doing it on purpose. I know I have a reason for it. Stay away from the scary guy. He's got scary stories. He's got a tale to tell. He'll sing you a song if you lend him his bong or lend him your bong, baby. He'll sing you a scary song. The scary guy in the park. I get scared sometimes thinking that I'm used up, and I know that I'm not alone. I know that a lot of people out there, especially people who've been on the streets actually, who've actually been homeless, because really I'm not so much homeless yet as I'm camping. Real terrible homelessness, I saw that when I lived in Little Saigon. So I wonder if I'm used up. I know that being here is kind of like playing pretend, if I can be so bold. Because the reality, like I said, is I am at a nice state park right now. I'm surrounded by nice people. I'm being left alone, and I'm leaving others alone. I don't have to worry about being robbed or killed or worse. But here's the thing. I lived in Little Saigon, Seattle. You know that. It used to be called the Little Saigon Report, right? I lived there long enough to know how deep, how horribly deep the caves are when it comes to homelessness. They make it sound like, well, you know, you can just put a plan together and go down to the mission and get yourself a brand new suit and go show up for an interview and you'll have a job and a place to live tomorrow. And that sounds nice, but that's not remotely the case. The reality is that homelessness in America at the very bottom is more like a pit, more like a cage that has greasy walls and a greasy floor, and you're never going to climb the walls and you're never going to get out of the cage, or at least most people don't. That's the actual reality. Very few people scale those slimy cliffs to climb out. Very few people make it over the wall. You get in, you get stuck, and then you just end up in some particular doom loop until what? You check out? Until you check out, baby. Something else I think you probably know about me by now, or at least I hope you understand, is I'm not some type of a commie person who says, give me your money, please, just because. I did end up begging for help this week, and perhaps that was wrong or not. I still think on it. I have to respect the people that listen and assume that they're making the best choices for themselves and their family, but I really can't assume that either, necessarily. I don't know. I know that having time here is helping me stay sane. And I know that if I stay sane, there's a good chance I'll come up with a good plan. But I also know that, like I said, this could have turned out a bunch of different ways. And there's just a lot more out there right now that looks vague to me, that looks uncertain than I think maybe a few months ago. And the other thing about begging for help is that it can feel a couple degrees removed from grifting, from being a con artist. And that's another thing, that issue we've discussed in the past, and I don't really like the smell of it. So I question it. I ask that question, should I do this? Anyways. And maybe another thing before we get too deep into something else. I've been thinking about the issue of popularity, and you all know that I've had my issues with censorship. This is fairly public, but I've asked the other question too. Like, maybe it's simply the case that there just really aren't a lot of people who would appreciate this podcast. That the number of people, the percentage-wise, is so relatively small that it would take a marketing miracle to actually find those people that would want to listen. I say this because I've met some pretty cool people through this podcast. I've met some really honest, decent Christian types. I've met other types too, people who are dedicated to liberty. And I've met a few people along the road that didn't turn out so great, but that's life too, ain't it? That's also life, my friends out there. You're going to meet someone not so bad. You're going to meet probably a dud. You'll meet a FUD. And, you know, maybe you'll meet, what, Tom Rudd? I don't know. Mike Rudd. It's Mike Rudd. I don't care what Rudd. When I was at the Walmart today, there were a couple of these incidents of what I can only call aggressive walking. This one dude actually veered towards me as if he was going to hit me and then swerved away. I have no idea why. There was this other incident of this woman with her shopping cart. She looks like she was actually changing directions to hit me. I really don't know why. It's weird. It could just be random. Or it could be that, like I said, I'm putting off that aura. And I'm not the only one. I think that there are a lot of people starting to broadcast the general notion that whatever's coming next to this, you know, viewing audience, it's not going to be what people are being told. I think some of us are already demonstrating that we're already at Boblimpdoc. We're ready for day zero. We're ready for the point at which a lot of things we expect to work just won't work. And we are accepting the consequences, which, you know, are going to be kind of brutal. Which is a simple, sad, functional truth. So maybe there's a lot of us giving off that aura. And so if, you know, some particular normie, some particular dedicated shopper comes across us, it's that spooky animal intelligence. Don't talk to the scary guy at the Walmart. Don't talk to the weirdo at the Costco. So who knows? Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Don't judge a book by its RV. Don't judge a book by its, you know, recreational vehicle. Just because you see somebody filling up gasoline at the gas station, don't pretend you understand their pain. They probably just spent $200. They probably just spent like $300. They fueled up their bus. They're ready to meet up with Gus, you know, somewhere out there on the edge of the peninsula. They'll be cooking salmon tonight. They'll be cooking it over alderwood. They'll be smoking it inside of that folded tin foil with a little bit of butter and a little bit of lemon. They'll put a little garlic on top just to season it right. And then they'll sit and eat their barbecued salmon steaks and drink their schizzle beer, and they'll watch the sun go down over that great Pacific Ocean. No, don't judge a book by its RV. And I know that don't judge a book by its cover. Dan, that's silly. Well, I'll tell you what. You can't really tell with a lot of people these days what's going on. In part because a lot of Americans are really good at putting on the brave face. And God bless them. I mean, I think they're helping maybe, but they're definitely not broadcasting that they're having problems. And so you might see somebody in an expensive RV and think, well, they're doing well. And you might see somebody in some smaller setup and say, well, they aren't doing so great. But I think that would be an assumption and probably not correct. You know, a lot of folks are out there right now camping. And some of them are camping because they're campers. And some of them are camping because they're between one place and another and they can't find a safe place to be that they can afford. And some of these folks go to a Costco, well, not a Costco. They go to a Walmart parking lot, and they boondock there, and they stay inside their vehicles all night out of respect. And some people will find a quiet little road someplace and pull along the side. A lot of folks out there are camping. So don't judge a book by its RV. And this is another Dr. Freckles quote. I don't think it's a very good one. because I don't think it's original. I think this is something Yogi Berra might have said, but you know, you can send me an email. Sideways is progress in a different direction. You know, what does that mean, Dan? Well, partly it's a recognition that sometimes, and I think this is part of my faith, and it doesn't have to be part of your faith, but sometimes it does seem as if God or the universe or nature is nudging you a certain direction, and because you don't want to head that direction, you end up going sideways. Sometimes. Sometimes sideways is the simple acceptance that you can't go forward, that going forward is impossible, that if you keep going forward, you're not going to make it, so you take a turn sideways. Sometimes things work out, sometimes they don't. A lot of folks probably entered the year 2020 thinking that life would just continue as is without interruption. And a lot of those folks had to make different choices because of what happened. And in some cases, in order to survive, they had to go sideways. They had to change careers, they had to find a new way to live. Perhaps they even sold the fancy house on Scrimpton Avenue, someplace in Streganville, and instead they moved to Scompton. And Scompton's a fine place to live. So sideways, if that's the progress you're making, at least you're going somewhere. Beyond that, I can't really tell you. Advice from me at this point seems empty. Not because I think I'm an absolute failure, but because in practical economic terms, I really don't have much to stand on, except for the ground we have rented here at the park. So I can't tell you, hey, you know, there's this new stock coming out, and if you invest in it, you're going to become a gazillionaire. No, I wouldn't tell you that. I can't tell you that. That's not who I am. You hear things when you're sitting here on the trail, by the trail. You say you listen to me, but you don't listen to me. I try listening to you. I open up my ears. I have to drink a few beers. You say you listen to me. I stand there, honey. I stand there straight. I look you in the face as I feel disgrace. Some kids never grow up. She's very skittish. It's not your dog's fault. Yes, your dog went insane. It's a Frenchie. And that Frenchie went on the attack, and it was pretty terrible. She's just very skittish. Just skittish, skittish. Be careful about your dog when you're skittish. There was a space traveler, a universal cowboy, a kind of exceptional sort of dude who moved through all the various parts of space-time. His code name was Alley Cat, but his job was Zone Reaper. He is a descendant of the Treblick warriors that live near Mount Baker. He's half Canadian, and the other half is solid gold. He dreams of Tim Horton's muskrat scooter sandwiches and wishes his long-past girlfriends well, all except Tessa. He has a job monitoring Thrag Sector 18, where the Scoob Raiders eat Twembly and migrate monthly to the Duwamish River to refill on whiskey stew and skog slurry. Yes, the Zone Reaper, he keeps a close watch on Barry the Sky Demon. Barry flies about in his crop duster, laying down a nice mist of stesic gas and pesticides and other bits of debunctuated chemo goo. Gotta keep an eye on Barry. That's what we gotta do. The Zone Reaper is looking for a room to rent. The Zone Reaper is looking for a place to sojourn. He'll live in a room and give you like $600. He'll treat you well. He'll pretty much be a hermit. He wants to rent a place not far from Carrie's Stew Salon and Tattoo Parlor. He got accidentally pulled into a room for rent scheme. I'm gonna drink a little Coke here for the Zone Reaper. He got pulled into a room for rent scheme. It was on Craigslist. Yes, this particular ad said, "It's about $530 a month, you know, and you gotta come up with like a few $100 up front, you know, and there'll be a $60 non-refundable, you know, or no, refundable, it's definitely refundable, apartment background check fee to a private account on Venmo. And you're gonna be paying all this before you ever see the place. Yes, you'll be paying at least $60, and who knows, they might rope you in for the whole amount before you see the place, before you check it out. Our friend the Zone Reaper almost got suckered into one of those schemes. No, you don't send money to some place before you've seen it. That's crazy. You can take the Zone Reaper down by Rachel's Sewer Rat Bistro and suckle upon Skeel wine, waiting for the alley cat to furl his brow, and grab a bottle and break it off in your nasty ass face. Zone Reapers don't have time for quasi-sect wannabes, left side Morgley types, the ones you see at Walmart. That's just a helicopter looking for Uncle Dan. Yeah, that's just a helicopter looking for Uncle Dan, looking for where I'm located, zeroing in on me, using directionals. They've got a vector. They're gonna send their missile right to my heart, and they'll break my heart. Yes, you can take the Zone Reaper down by Rachel's Sewer Rat Bistro and suckle upon Skeel wine, waiting for the alley cat to furl his brow and get kinda angry, and grab a bottle and break it off in your face, you know. That would be pretty bad. Zone Reapers don't have time for quasi-sect wannabes and left-side Morgley types, as I've said. You see them at Walmart. You see them at Costco. They've got that stare. You know where. After the winter battle of 2013... And with his head shot clean off by some type of machine grenade, the Zone Reaper was sent to a hospital at Lewis McChord and they went ahead and used super glue and fishing line and rusty old hooks to sew the alley cat's head back on. Huh, he was lucky. Blisto Ziggins, the scudge wielder, rode with the Zone Reaper when the harlots of Grid 22 got frisky and the McNuggins was on sale for $3.50, and you could still get non-deconstructed potato paste at the Skleeg Hut. They chased the Star Pirates of Zeeb and hunted curled beaver in the hooker region of Sector 0098Z. Come forth and wash your festules, cried the Time Herald, bringing forth the sunshine day of forever before and ever until. Forever before, ever until. The Time Herald stands there still. His mind was warped from space dust and kiln wine. Jester turds would dance about that hag lawn, and the Zone Reaper would mark time upon the clock that freak built and the safe passage home to yesterday. Because the ever before and the ever and until that moment was before, everything was yesterday. That's where the Zone Reaper wants to head to. Jealous Stag Minge from Quadrant Magoon, Quadrant Mugon, got caught in the Zone Reaper's eyes. She fell in love. They connected and had a condo together. They would take weekend trips to the National Forest of Yug 8 and swim naked in the Tondo pools. He would enguzzulate her using his Sheba's wand, and her boobula would detractify with oil kindness. But Zone Reaper dumped her because she was two-timing on him with a squid greeter and maxing out his credit cards, maxing out his Visa. The Zone Reaper wouldn't have it. This had to end. She haunts him now. She stalks the Zone Reaper on the internet, keeping track of him and his various search activities using witches and wizards and hyper technology. Yeah, stalker. The Hoofscoove kept the groove, and Gender's Slog Wedding was amazing. The Zone Reaper went to that in the year 2016. He was in one of the forbidden parsecs where you're not allowed to turn on your fusion drive. He was having drinks with this particular mistress of the High Lord known as Vaskar. Yes, at Gender's Slog Wedding, all the Stugal folks stood around talking about all kinds of stuff. Talking about the house they just sold. We just made $1 million. Holy smokes, they said. That's a lot of gizzle grease. Yep, Gender's Slog Wedding was a real feat for the Zone Reaper. The Jib Zoos were opening soon near the Galactic Center. At the center of the our galaxy, they were opening up these Jib Zoos or Star Zoos. The whole zoo is a half a light year in diameter. All kinds of creatures from all over the galaxy, with a giant plateau, multi-layered landscaped. You know, a half a light year, huge, huge. Huge space for a zoo. They had to get their Dyson permit, their permit to build a superstructure, their permit to create that gravity well. And of course, the Dyson Corporation, since the 1960s, has been handing out permits for planetoid-sized objects and hot rods. Dangerous stuff, my friends, building a starship the size of a solar system. Very dangerous. At these zoos, though, they will have lemurs. They will be radioactive. That's all you need to know. Castor creeps lurk between the black holes and the pulsars. Zone Reaper had his run-ins with that crew of mangly sorts. Those Gungit types carried 12-gauge, 5-shot, recoil-supported revolvers with mixed ammo, grenades, sabo, dragon's breath. The creeps would hunt starships bearing gold and silver and hookers. They would take on those starships, those pirates, and steal all that booty. Hookers and cocaine, yep, the zone, you know, the caster creeps, they're crazy. The Zone Reaper would use WAP guns filled with titanium plasma darts. These darts are accelerated to 5% the speed of light. At those velocities, they tear through anyone trying to fight back against the justified Zone Reaper. Zone Reapers have been around since before time was kept track of. Zone Reapers travel the universe and try to bring about justice in the worst way possible. Zone Reapers live a solitary life of sadness, and nobody wants to spend time around a Zone Reaper. They're lonely. So I did a few things to try to make this podcast work outside. I will find out when I edit the audio if they worked. It's quieter right now, but you still get the noise of the helicopters looking for me, the overflights, the radar images. It's just the way it is. Even this little squirrel. Hello, little squirrel. There's a little squirrel there acting like a squirrel. He's going to take a poop on my head. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, here is my standard pitch / speech. I'm just drinking some water first. Here's the pitch. Before you give a random stranger any of your money on the internet, make sure you take care of your food, your water, your shelter. If there are people in your life that need help, help them first. If you're setting aside some extra food for your family and you have a pet, consider your pet. And, you know, always remember, as crazy as things are, and they can get really crazy, it's not the end of the world. So before you send a random stranger any of your money, take time to take care of yourself. I'm not saying go blow money. I'm not saying you should go into debt. But take a moment to step back from life and take a breather. Because of your generosity, I was able to take a breather this week. Okay? It might be the last breather I get. It might be the first step along a yellow brick road of gold. It might be. Might be the beginning of my yellow brick road, although there's a horror film from like 2011 or something, that time frame, maybe 2009, called Yellow Brick Road. It's an indie horror film. Yeah, I might be on that road. once again, it is Friday. It is just after 4:45 p.m. on August the 25th, 2023. And if you hear that rustling ahead of, if you can hear the rustling, that's a squirrel getting ready to jump on me. It is Friday, and if you want to donate, you can. I think everybody can use money. But remember, maybe tonight's the night you donate to yourself. That being said, I hope you guys have a great Friday night, and I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.